Just mute.
You guys did a great job. Appreciate it.
There's a guy coming up. I hope that you get to hear. I've heard sometime today that he was going to be doing a teaching at 8 o'clock.
Whatever.
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe I should just go and have my dessert now, eh?
Hey, go ahead. Go on. I just had mine. So, you know, I still heard every word they said. So,
well, if you hear this slurping going on,
you know, if you were at a physical conference and you brought all the food into that conference room that every one of you have brought into your computer room or your couch today, you know, it wouldn't work. They don't allow you to do all that stuff.
Nope. Hey, that's the beauty of the virtual conference, you know?
I love it. That's right.
Well, our next speaker is Mr. Mark David Smith, owner of Messianic Lamb Radio and many other websites that promote our father.
Under the umbrella of Talmudine Publishing.
That is correct. Right. He is going to be speaking tonight on gathering, not scattering. And I think this man has been looking forward to this for some time, and I know where his heart is because his heart is it's bigger than my computer, it's bigger than my desk, it's huge. It encompasses the size of my house and property here. I've known him for only 8 years now, Mark?
A lot longer than that, I'm sure.
I guess it's been longer than that, but you know, it's been
I think somewhere.
It's been a fantastic relationship between all of us, and we cherish you, brother, and the words you say and the things that you've helped all of us accomplish couldn't have done it without you. And I'm proud to know you, and I'm proud to sit here and listen to this message tonight because I know it's going to be edifying to the body of Messiah. Absolutely.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate
Amen.
That. I really
Amen.
Do. And I'm asking Stephen, Susan, James and Gail and John and Sandy to stick around for this. I'm going to give out my notes. Let's put it that way. I'm going to read over my notes. And when I am done, when I'm completely done with all that I've got here in my notes and from my heart, then I'm going to ask them to also speak on what I've just spoke on, because the real key to this is that I've asked them all to stay, not because I value them any more than anyone else that I know in my life, but simply because I value them. And so if y'all will stick around, and then when I'm done, I'll if you don't mind, I'll call on you individually and ask you to come in and, speak on, I'll just ask you some questions on what I just taught on.
He's trying to get a captive audience here.
No, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying, because I know your heart. I do know your heart.
Brother.
So anyway,
yes.
Here we go. All right. Thank you all. I want to thank every one of you for being here tonight. I appreciate it so much. Let me do something here real quick that's going to help me. Yes, I like that a lot. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. A lot of speakers this weekend have said very similar things to what I'm about to present, but I'm going to present it in a completely different way. There are three areas of importance I want to bring to light. Before making my final point, I think you'll all be able to catch the common denominator as I present these areas. The first one I'm going to talk about is the ecosystem. Second is the Declaration of Independence. And the third one is interdependence. Now, most of us have heard the word ecosystem. We're fairly familiar with it. It depends on how long ago you were in high school, I think, that we know much about it. I was not taught this in high school. I've had to study it out or learn about it in my life of 61 years on my own. And so in preparing this, a lot of it had to do with me just going out and looking it up, because it is actually very important to what I'm about to say. The ecosystem is a unit of nature and the focus of study in ecology. It consists of all the biotic and abiotic factors in an area. For instance, a lake, a field, a street, a neighborhood, a city, a backyard, a cemetery, even a McDonald's restaurant, a bedroom, a refrigerator, a coffee cup, the computer keyboard that's in front of you right now. Even your toilet could be considered an ecosystem, because every one of these things and more contain a variety of species that interact with each other. Another thing that involves this is ecology, which is the study of how living things interact with each other and with their environment. For instance, the earth and its ecosystems and its creatures are all well and deeply connected. The existence of many of these species depends on the survival of others. This is the most important thing here. And of course, human beings are absolutely no exception. There are many animals that we as human beings and other creatures on this planet rely on for our benefit and well-being. I'm gonna line out six different creatures which are found in every continent and every country, well, every continent and country in the world, and how they affect the planet's ecosystems. I think you're going to find these to be quite interesting. Let's just take ants as the very first word, ants, A-N-T-S. Ants aid in decomposition and turn up more soil than earthworms. When ants dig tunnels, they aerate the soil and recycle nutrients. This activity is ecologically crucial in maintaining healthy soil for plant food and growth, just in general. Ants even help reduce the use of chemical fertilizers and the need for irrigation. The second one is termites, believe it or not. Though they destroy our homes and are responsible for billions of dollars needed for annual repairs, they are far more beneficial than harmful to humans. They are decomposers, meaning they consume decomposing plant matter and play a vital role in recycling ecosystem energy. The third one is bats. They are exceptionally important to our ecosystem of this planet. There are over 1,200 species of bats on this planet throughout, and they are found on every continent of this planet. Bats won't harm humans unless they're threatened, contrary to most people's opinion. And it's very interesting, because they are of vital importance to yesterday's pagan holiday, of course. They perform nocturnal insect control services by consuming millions upon millions of pest insects each year. As a matter of fact, farmers are grateful to bats because they save farmers billions of dollars of crops each year while reducing the need for chemical pesticides. In many places of the world, mosquitoes carrying deadly diseases such as malaria and dengue fever are taken care of because a single brown bat can eat up to 1,000 mosquitoes in 1 hour. And this keeps it under control for many different countries and around the planet. As a matter of fact, they are just crucial to what happens on this planet. The next one is frogs. Frogs act as bioindicators, which means they indicate the health of our ecosystem, since frogs will most often be the first animals to react to biological hazards. They are helpful to humans in warning and to take action. The next one is birds. Birds perform a broad variety of ecological roles, including forest decomposition, insect pest control, nutrient recycling, bioindication of ecosystem health, plant pollination, and seed dispersal. Now, we all know that about birds, is they go from plant to plant, and they pollinate and disperse seeds throughout. But a lot of the ground-dwelling birds even help aerate and turn up soil with their claws. Though ants, termites, bats, and frog species might be the masters of all that they do, birds are they outdo everything that those other creatures do. They can do all the same things, even more. Birds keep our systems in balance. I mean, right next to that is insects. Without insects, our lives would be vastly different. They pollinate many of our fruits, flowers, and vegetables. We would not have much of the produce that we enjoy today and rely on without the pollinating services of insects. Honey, beeswax, silk, a lot of these things are provided by insects. Insects are very important as the primary or secondary decomposers. Without insects to help break down and dispose of waste, dead animals and plants would accumulate in our environment. They are the sole food source for many amphibians, reptiles, birds, and mammals. Insects themselves are harvested and eaten by people in some cultures. They are a rich source of protein, vitamins, and minerals. If this planet, these six things that I just mentioned there, if this planet became extinct, now listen to this. If this planet became extinct of any one of these creatures, any one of the six that I just mentioned to you, within 1 year, all life as we know it would cease to exist. Within 1 year. Just any one of those six things. This is something that we don't take value in. We don't stop and look at. We're not really taught this. It's just commonplace every day that we just take advantage of these things. We kill insects, and there's nothing wrong with it. I do. I live out in the country now where there's loads of wasps and bees and everything. And you can ask my wife. I can't stand it. I don't want to be stung by them. You know, I'm going to do everything I can to either kill them or shoo them away or get them rid of them some way. You know, so. I'm there. You know, these are just creatures, and they're small creatures, but let me mention one other creature on this planet that we're scared to death of, but is vital to the ecosystem of this planet. And believe it or not, it's wolves. Let me tell you, in my research, I found out that starting in the 1800s to the 1900s, wolves were routinely poisoned as a method of predator control in Yellowstone Park. Since their virtual disappearance from the park, there have been a series of geographic and ecological changes that were never truly understood until the wolf population was returned. Since 1995, wolves were reinduced into Yellowstone National Park, and the impact of their return has been felt in every facet of the park's ecosystem. Rebalancing the natural predatory hierarchy, the park's biodiversity has actually increased. Whole landscapes have rejuvenated, and the course of the river, the main river running through the park, has been changed for the better. It's almost unbelievable, some of the things that I found out literally about wolves and how they have tried to rid them because they scare us. You know, we don't want to be around them, but they are vital to us and our planet. You know, there's five basic needs that all of us need. All living things need to have. Every living organism on Earth needs some basic things to survive. These things are sunlight, which is probably the most important need for all living organisms. It's the source of all energy. It also provides heat and plants for animals. Of course, water. We all know water, the medium in which living cells and tissue works. Water is also a living environment for most plants and animals, all plants and animals. Air, of course, we need air. It's made up of several gases, oxygen and carbon dioxide. Without oxygen, I mean, come on, all of us know animals will die, and without carbon dioxide, plants can't survive. Living organisms require oxygen to combine with food to release the energy. Of course, we need food. We need nutrients. Living things need energy for function. Energy is needed to grow, reproduce, move, and to work. Of course, something that we just don't think about, but because it's around us all the time, is a habitat. We have to have a place to live. All living things have to have an ecosystem to live in, and it has to be a right temperature. I mean, right now, this evening, I've gone from a sweater to sweat top. I've, you know, sometimes I have to put on jeans over my sweats because I get cold, and I don't know if it has to do with the fact that I'm old or whatever. I'm getting old, or I'm 61 now, and but I've always kind of been that way. And you know, my living space, my what's around me has to be either too hot or too cold or whatever. It has to be just right for me. And you know, I mean, even when I'm sleeping, it's a constant changing of things. And so our habitat is not indifferent than any of the creatures I just spoke of or the creatures that live outside. You won't find some of these creatures in some parts of the world because the habitat, the temperature, the area around, the food that they need to eat is not there. Humans can live almost anywhere on the planet. We've proven that. We've been every place in the world, and we've lived there, and we've done what we can. But God's creatures, the animals, the insects, the birds, frogs, bats, ants, you know, they're all over the planet, but they're in specific ecosystems because they're in a place where that habitat or the food is just right for them, where if they would move out of the ecosystem that they're in, they wouldn't survive. They just couldn't survive. You know, this is interesting to me. It's not something that I've thought a lot about in my life, and it's something that we need to take more look at. I'm not a big what do you call them? The people that go around and say, okay, we have to save the planet, and we got to.
Oh, the tree huggers?
I'm not a tree hugger at all. But you know, I do realize that it does make a difference. It's something that we need to recognize, that there are many things outside of our human existence that's around us that we survive on. And if it wasn't there, we couldn't live. It's just the way it is. So, I'll bring this up later when I bring all this together. The second thing is the Declaration of Independence. If you hadn't recognized that at the very beginning, that's what I was reading. And the Declaration of Independence is just the very, very, very first part of it. It is the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of American. Of America. The important part that I want to bring out of this, and of course every word of it is important if you go back and read it, and I think that everybody that's listening to me, you should go look it up online and read it, and read it slowly. Don't just scan over it. It is very important. The part that I read where it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The quotation, "all men are created equal," has been called an immortal declaration, which is interesting. Thomas Jefferson first used the phrase here, and he penned it in 1776. Most of us know that. You know, it's one of those speeches that the quote from this has been used in many, many different speeches since then by a lot of different people, and most of them are, you know, to speak of specific things. For instance, Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King used the Declaration of Independence to demand equality for African Americans and women, seized the historical as well as the moral high ground. And it's just very interesting to me that before final approval, Congress made a few alterations, and which is interesting because the alterations they made could make it either sound like they didn't approve of slavery, even though they all had slaves. Even Thomas Jefferson had slaves. All of Congress had slaves. Or was it for women who were not allowed to obviously vote or do much of anything else at that time? One of the things I found that was very, very, very interesting in this is that, in fact, the document was edited, I think, 24 times before it was actually published. And this one line that I've brought out actually originally said, "We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable self-evident, that all men are created equal and independent." And they left out the word sacred, which I thought was very interesting, and undeniable self-evident. They left in self-evident, so that all men are created equal. And I understand that there was a lot of debate on that, and in whether how to word that specific sentence, probably more than any of the rest of them. There's a lot of history on how that was written that I found that I thought was quite interesting. We here in our government, in our wonderful United States of America, how there is so much bickering and change, and you know whether or not our president is even standing up to the Constitution or trying to change it or whatever. You know, I mean, I just honestly get tired of all that. It's very important to us, but I think there's just sometimes there's too much on that when our history has already been through so much. So now my third point is interdependence. This is not a word that is used very often in our day-to-day lives. As a matter of fact, I honestly don't remember the last time I actually used it in a sentence short of just explaining what interdependence is, because we can use the word dependent or independent and that type of thing quite often, I think, in just normal speech. But the word interdependence is actually probably one of the most important words in the lifestyle that we live. And you're going to see here, I think, that what I've already talked about as far as the ecosystem and our own nation's declaration or proclamation of independence is got a lot to do with this. The definition of interdependent is actually of two or more people or things dependent on each other. Interdependence means mutual dependence, reciprocal dependency, or mutual reliance. As a culture, we don't do interdependence very well. Ours is a culture most of the time is we have individualism. We say every man for himself. One of our nation's cornerstones is the declaration, and I might even say the proclamation of independence. The Bible emphasizes community. Our Torah is nothing but community. John and Sandy were speaking so much about community and how we have to work together. Well, I almost said, I almost don't want to, I don't need to do my teaching. Everybody else this past weekend has already done my teaching for me, but which has been really good. I mean, several times I think I've even mentioned that everybody is kind of pre-taught. They've done the pre-teaching for me to get it ready here. So we are interdependent people because of Genesis 1:26, where it says that, "Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule or have dominion over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground." So God created humankind in his own image, in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish," or have dominion over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. How interesting this is after what I had just said about our ecosystem and actual creatures on this planet, that if they were no longer to exist, neither would man exist. So we take note of each other, but so often don't take note of God's own creation, where he says that man is to have dominion over these creatures. He's to have dominion over God's planet ecosystem. It is up to us. God proclaimed it. God claimed it for us, and we are to claim it for ourselves. We are to recognize that this is a value. It's a value to God, and God gave us a value in it when he told us that we are to have dominion over it. Unfortunately, this word independence has become to mean something that our forefathers never meant it to mean. Today it means no one tells me what to do. I can do whatever I want. I'm independent. I still remember, it's been several years ago, when I was driving on an interstate, and I like to read the license tags, the personal license tags that people come up with. Some of them are just as whacked out as you can possibly get. But over the years, only a couple of them have stayed in my mind, and one of them I can't say. I'm not going to say. But the other one has always, always just stayed right there, and I can think of it in a second. I don't remember exactly what the letters were, but it says, "'Cause I can." That was the license tag. "'Cause I can," meaning that I will do whatever I want because I can. And that is the independent attitude of this planet, but it's not the attitude that God has given us. God has given us an interdependence attitude, and it's a true spiritual attitude. We think of being righteous as like being an American. In America, we are independent. We don't answer to anyone. We don't even have to answer to our own government. There's many governments out there that doesn't allow the freedom that we have to just say whatever we want to. And I kind of see that as even going away now. Of course, our Bible never supports the idea that we're supposed to be independent. This is a concept of evil. Satan got Eve to think and act independently from God. Satan himself acted independently from God, and it was his downfall. The drive for independence is built on a foundation of sin and evil. Our Bible teaches interdependence. We are not alone, and we don't grow alone. One of the best examples of that is children and their parents. Children and their parents are extremely interdependent of each other. We are built together as a holy temple. There is no power in being independent, but there is power in being interdependent. Ephesians 4:1-3 says, "Therefore I, the prisoner, united with the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Always be humble, gentle, and patient, bearing with one another in love, and making every effort to preserve the unity the Spirit gives through the binding power of peace." Yeshua did not act alone. He always did the will of his Father and always acted in concert with his Father and the Spirit. He never acted independently on his own. There is no independence in the Godhead. So why would there be in the body of Messiah? Independence focuses on me. The focus of righteousness, however, is us. Yeshua never sent his disciples out alone, never once. It was always two or more. What made America so strong in the beginning? Not our independence. It was our interdependence. How we worked and set goals together. This is interdependence. This is what is success in righteousness, is how we can work together, how we can set goals together, how we can move on. Remember, we are the United States of America. Are we really anymore? I don't know. I mean, I've even heard that Texas, you know, several times I've heard that Texas, Stephen, has wanted to, you know, they could just go out from the union if they wanted to. you know, so anyway, we've got so many different things that we think of being dependent or independent. We don't want to be dependent on anyone. We don't want to be dependent on somebody outside of our family. Our family we see as interdependent, but we don't think of it like that. It's just there. It's just a part of who we are. You know, Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called into the hope, to one hope that calls to, that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Our country was built as one nation under one God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It was all about interdependence. Even on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit fell only after what? They were in one accord. I love to hear John Craig say that, you know, I mean, when it, when they all fell in one accord, why? Because they were all praising together. They knew all together that they were in one accord. So the Spirit had to be able to fall in, on them. The Spirit is not going to fall on somebody that stands alone. Yes, you can be alone in your house and with God and with Yeshua, with the Messiah, with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit can fall on you. But when we are all together in one accord, how much more will the Spirit fall on all of us together? And you know, I might even just say, no wonder the Spirit can't fall on some churches today. Because they are so divided. And I used to say, it's real interesting, my wife and I used to do a lot of different things. We were part of YWAM, and we did the March for Jesus and that type of thing, which was a unity thing of getting different churches together and congregations. There weren't too many Messianic congregations back in those days, though we were Torah observant. We still kind of worked with the churches. I used to be on the Ministerial Association, that type of thing. And it was interesting that they would all get together, but it was still division. And there was times when I would say, you know, what is it like 9,337 different Christian denominations out there? Why? Why? Because you get one person, the leader of one church, that says, well, you know, the Spirit of God has told me that this scripture says means this. And another person says, well, yeah, but the Spirit of God told me that that same speech scripture means this. And another leader would say, yeah, but the Spirit of God told me that that same scripture means this. So what do we got? 9,337 different Holy Spirits? Every time I ever said that, I never got an answer. Nobody could answer that one. So no wonder the Spirit doesn't fall on most churches today. And I wonder, does it fall on most Messianic congregations today? It's not my place to say, but, you know, it's a fact of we are not independent. And so this is a very vital, vital thing that we need to recognize, I think. I still think that the most important thing to us is moving together and working together. We have to value each other in that. The goal of interdependence is to benefit all, not just one or some. Interdependence enhances the individual. It makes the individual stronger, not weaker, makes them more important, not less important. By acting independently, we grieve God's Spirit because we make ourselves into gods. We really do. We little G-O-Ds. We act upon ourselves. We don't act on God's behalf. We act upon ourselves, our self behalf. We cannot afford the luxury of acting alone. We must act for each other's sake. I ask you today to make a declaration of interdependence for your life in Messiah. We know that Psalms 133 verse 1 says how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Remember, the United States were established to free us from the oppression of a people who ruled over us. Why did they want to rule over us? Because they were independent and not interdependent. It's not to rule over. When God said that we are to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the ecosystems of the world, meaning that we need to take notice of the fact that without them, we do not exist on this planet at all. About 13 years ago, my rabbi, Rabbi Monte Judah, said something to me that, along with several other things, has stuck with me through the years, and that is, it's all about gathering and not scattering. The idea here is that of interdependence. It is about recognizing value in our ecosystem, value in the country that we live in, the people that we're around every day, the people that are righteous, the people that are unrighteous. You realize that there are value in those. So what's the common denominator of ecosystems, the Declaration of Independence and interdependence? It's value. It is a value of knowing what's righteous, what's not righteous. It's the people around us. It's the unity of the people around us. It's you know, we can't survive without ecosystems, but we need to realize, like, I was reading out of the first chapter of Genesis. God created life. What more value is there on earth than the life that God created? Do you value God? Do you value what the Messiah has done for you? Do you value the Spirit that you have in you? Do you value that? God created life. That's all life. Do we have value for that? If we have value for that, we have value for those that are God's people, that God created. You know, the unrighteous still have breath. They have breath. They have life within them. That's value. That's what God created was that life. He breathed life, and we are created in God's image. The Declaration of our nation tells us that we are all equal, no matter what the origin, the original reason for the wording, all of that. I think that's real interesting, how they change things, whether all that was because they didn't believe that slaves had any value or women had any value or anything like that. They did not find, even though God is mentioned in the Declaration of Independence and all of our country was supposed to be founded on all of that, they still did not have value in God's life. Slaves have breath. Women have breath. Men have breath. Animals have breath. They're all of value. And the third thing being interdependence. You know what? It's a long word. Try typing it. That was sometimes long words and typing them is not a lot of value to me. But anyway, the ecosystem and the declaration of our Lord and God is of value. We cannot survive and will not survive without interdependence. The value of our brothers and sisters that we're with, the ecosystem on our planet, everything that we are involved in. We are created by the same God. We are equal. Every one of us are created by one God, one Messiah, and one Holy Spirit, not 9,337 different Holy Spirits. There's one Spirit, and every single one of us have the life that God created. And we have to have value. If you devalue me by talking down to me, or saying that if you don't say the name of God the way I say it, or you don't do the lunar Sabbath, your Sabbath is the seventh day and you need to study that out and find that thing, or whether or not your doctrine is better than my doctrine, or it's a salvational issue, that type of thing, that is you devaluing me. And that is what seems to be the norm within Judaism, within Christianity, within in our Messianic lifestyle, it's just not right. It's just not what God planned on. We need to recognize interdependence amongst all of us and the unity that entails. Lamb values. The Messianic Lamb Radio, the Messianic Lifestyle Audio Magazine Broadcast Radio is based on value. There are several other radio stations out there, and many of them are based on specific doctrines, and it's because they value that doctrine above all the others, and they don't want other people on their radio station giving their values out. And it's a lifestyle. Most of you have heard me say that if you don't make it a salvational issue, in other words, saying that if you don't believe in the two-house doctrine, then you're going to hell. I don't go for that. We don't allow that on Lamb Radio. You can't make your doctrine into a salvational issue. And it's values. It's the lifestyle. It's the way we live. There are many different ways. There are diverse ways that we live our lifestyle. That doesn't mean they're not of value, and we need to recognize this. Of course, we know that what's the greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the ultimate value. This is my commandment, that you love one another. That's value. That's all there, and that your neighbor is equal, that you're one another, the person that you're with, your family, the people outside of your family, they're equal. They're equal because they have the breath of God. We need to look at them as equals. It's so interesting that Brad, in his last part of his teaching a while ago, said, "This is my commandment." He also mentioned John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Is that the ultimate value? Oh, it's value. How can we value anything one above the other? We all need each other to survive on this planet. Yes, we need the birds and the bees and the ants and the bats and the termites and all of that. Yes, we do need that. That's part of our ecosystem to survive on this planet. But at the same time, their value is equal to your brother's value. It's the same value as to your sister's value. It's the same value as anybody else on this planet, righteous or unrighteous. They have the breath of life. They have the life that God breathed in to the first man. It's a value. Is there any value that's more valuable than something else, than anything else, than another person is? You know, one of the things that divides a lot of people is that definition of sin. Is one sin more of more value or devalued than another sin? Is one sin worse or better than another sin? In the Bible, there are different ways of looking at those things. Whether or not your brother sins, your brother is still of value. So whether or not one sin is worse than another, we let God judge on those things. This conference has been about prayer, praise, and proclamation. I would like to give you my idea of prayer, praise, and proclamation. If somebody is devaluing you by any means at all, or they devalue something of this planet, they devalue the great nation of ours, I say pray for that person. As Yeshua has said, pray for those that spitefully use you. And we praise the Most High. But you know, it's also right to give praise to one another for the things that we do and lift them up, encourage them. Gail O'Hare, I have literally prayed to God, "Lord, give me Gail's spirit of encouragement," because I don't have that. It's not part of, I guess it's not part of my ecosystem. I don't know how to express any different than that, but I would love to have the encouraging spirit of encouragement that Gail has. But I don't have that. Each one of us are different. We have our different gifts and talents. Those that are speaking evil on you or doing evil, find something to praise them about. Find something that's good. Find something of value about and tell them that. Counteract their evilness with a praise. And proclaim. We need to proclaim over ourselves, first of all, because because Yeshua said, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." So, first of all, we have to recognize the value that we have in ourselves. We'll never, ever, never love our neighbor until we value ourselves, because loving our neighbor requires us to value our neighbor. And if we're going to value our neighbor, we have to value ourselves. So we must proclaim the righteousness that God has given us, and only because of him. Our righteousness is filthy rags. We know that. But we are righteous in the Lord. We need to proclaim that. We need to proclaim it over others. Those that spitefully use you, we need to proclaim it over them. We need to pray over them. We need to praise them. We need to give them value. Those that want to tear down the kingdom of God, those that want to tear us down, we need to show them value. All right. Well, that's what I've got to share tonight. So let me move this aside, because I had to get it over there to hide from looking at you guys. So, Stephen, my brother, wow. What do you think about value, my friend?
It puts it in a whole new light,
doesn't it?
When you brought up that word interdependence, you know, that's not a word we throw around very often. And I never thought of it that way. You started out with ants and birds, and I'm thinking, where is he going? But we are interdependent upon each other. It's a dependency between things, between people. And like you said, we have, in order to keep that second greatest commandment, we got to start with ourselves and love ourselves, so we can love our neighbor equally as well. And we've got to do it.
Amen.
We've all seen how not to do it in the last few months, all of our lives, but it's getting worse. And the only people that are going to have any strength are those that bond together, and not fight together, but bond together.
That's
and
right.
Work together. And that's what that will be the kingdom that survives.
God's Amen. Feet. That's right. That's right. I know this is unusual to ask you guys to come in and do this, but I so value what you have to say, that I learn from each and every one of you, that it's very important to me to hear what you have to say. Susan, what would you like to add?
Well, you know, when you were talking there in regards to Genesis 1, verse 26, and you were quoting where it said, God said, let us make man in our image. And you were talking about how the interdependence of the Godhead, right. You know, you were talking about that. What struck me is that when you mentioned the phrase, God said, let us make man in our image. Okay, God's image is an interdependent image. And
right.
So here we were created. Initially, we were created strongly to have that interdependence. And then when we, you know, when our mother and father, Adam and Eve, did take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we have the falling from grace, that we probably lost that element of godlike interdependence. And that's why nowadays, when, you know, in the new covenant area, we are told, you know, put on the new man. Well, that new man includes interdependence, to have that godly interdependence, just like how God told us all in Genesis 1, verse 26. Right. So that's what kind of struck me in your talk.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. John and Sandy,
well,
I value your opinion.
Yeah, there's so much. One of the things that I was thinking about when you're talking about all of these systems within nature that are, it's multi-layered, and everyone depends upon the other, and each in and of itself is complex. And then I was thinking about the human body in and of itself and all of the systems of the body and the
right.
nervous system, the respiratory system, cardiovascular, the skeletal, muscular, all of it. Right. And all of it has to work together to function. And if one part isn't functioning, they all begin to fail. And ultimately, if it continues, it leads to death. And isn't that what it's like? Isn't that what the picture of the body of Messiah is like? Is that if we're not functioning and we're not healthy in the different areas, then the body is dying, and that's not a representation of walking in the image of Yahweh. Amen. Or Elohim.
That's right. That's right. Exactly right. Thank you.
And I think that, you know, when we look at that, it ultimately... Hasatan tries to deceive us, bring offense, bring division, because, and we think that it may be the right thing. We think that we've got, of our own mind, we become our own. We, instead of seeking Yah, we seek ourselves, and we become the own instruments of our destruction. But unfortunately, because we are interdependent, our sin and our decision affects the rest of the body.
That's right.
So every time we divide, just as you were speaking, we are prophesying our own destruction in our own action. When we do not come together as a chad, as one, in like kind, in like mind. And it's just what you said was a picture of what's going on.
Yeah, it's like what we do individually, we need to look at responsibly, that it does affect the whole. So therefore, we must be accountable to the whole individually, because the whole needs to be healthy.
Amen.
And the whole creates something great.
Yeah.
The whole creates the wall. Yes. The whole creates the bride.
The bride.
The
yeah.
whole the whole becomes a shelter in and of itself under Yahweh.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. You know, because I know each of you and your personalities, when I'm putting together this teaching, you know, I was thinking, yeah, you know, I wonder what Stephen or Susan or John and Sandy, James and Gail, or Rabbi Emanuel would be, you know, while I'm teaching this, I wonder what is coming to their minds. You see what I'm saying? Because there's no way anybody could teach what I just taught in 50 minutes. You can't do it. I mean, there's just and as I'm listening to all the teachers, I mean, you guys giving me a hard time when I'm talking to the teachers after what they've said. It's like, my gosh, you're teaching what I'm going to teach here. Now do you see what I'm saying? You know, it's yeah. All this whole weekend I've heard this come up so many times, and it's exactly the point that I'm trying to get at. I wonder, when I present this, I'm wondering what other people are thinking along the same lines. James and Gail, you see what I'm saying?
I do.
Absolutely.
I do. You struck a chord that has been stirring in our heart, and it has to do with the two greatest commandments that we have, and we say them, but it's very deep, it's very complex, but at the same time, it deals with the ecosystem of the kingdom, and that is to love the Father with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That has to be the first, and then to love our neighbor as ourself. And one thing that I've discovered with that is loving the Father deals with our hearts. It's always about the issue of our hearts. It's always about taking our eyes off of us and putting them on the relationships. And when we do that, when we enter any relationship, whether it be worshiping the Father, whether it be obeying His word, or whether it be His wisdom in bringing about the Moedims, He gave us the Moedims as a means of us to love one another. When we go to these, when we enjoy Shabbat, it's a love to Him saying, I love you. I heard what you said, and I will obey. And so it has to do with that relationship. when you go to the Moedim's, whether it be Sukkot, which is still resonating in my heart from what took place the last Sukkot, no one went there with opinions. I didn't hear anybody's, I've got an opinion. This is, you know, it was all this relationship and loving one another. And if we saw someone, like when we first met John and Sandy, I was like, oh, I want to get to know them. It was like a relationship. And it was constantly saying, this to me is dealing with our hearts. Because you know the expression, when something goes wrong, and this, I used to say this all the time in our household when my son would have an issue with some a friend or something, and I'd say, you know, you have to rise above that situation. You have to rise above it. You have to put your thinking above the situation, because it's all going to work out. This is a moment in time where you had a little tiff with somebody, and it seems like it's huge, but we need to rise above it. And then as of late, my son, who's been going through some challenges, this is one word that James and I have been saying to him. Brian, you have value. You are alive and you have value. Do not listen to the evil inclinations that are trying to rob, kill, and destroy you. Hear what I am saying. You have value.
Amen.
And I have been discovering, Mark and everybody else, and you all know it, and I don't mean to be preaching to the choir, but the battle is in the mind. I mean, that is one of the air ecosystems, if you will, that really we need to be anchored in what the Spirit is saying and what the Word is saying, and then we need to exercise it, and that's what this whole conference has been. Prayer,
Amen.
Praise, Amen. And proclamation.
Right.
And that's like on-the-job training. I love on-the-job training. I love it. When I had to go on Skype this time and do the Skype thing without James by my side, I was like, I learned so much. It was on-the-job training.
Right.
So thank you, Mark. I mean, this just is so resonating in what the Father's doing in my heart.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, basically, one of the things that I would say is, number one is I agree totally with Gail.
smart man.
Value her,
smart man.
Gail, that is what you were saying. Like when you said you saw John and Sandy at Sukkot, and you had to meet them, you had to get to know them. You had never met them. You maybe heard them on the radio or whatever, but you know you valued them even though you had never met them. Because you value life, you value, you just, everybody at Sukkot, you valued them. There's 1,000 people. I don't know you, but I value you.
Exactly.
You know,
you've heard of smartphones. You've heard of smartphones. Well, James just created a new term. It's called smart independence, interdependence.
Interdependence, that's right.
But another thing, if I can go back to Sukkot. I just want to say one more thing. I don't mean to interrupt, but I did. I guess I did mean to do it. But Mark, even with that situation with our RV, when we were supposed to be next to you because we wanted to have that interrelationship with you and Donna again and possibly Monty, Judah, and Lynn, but the Father knew what he was doing. He put us next to another family that we connected with, and again, we valued each other, and there was a relationship that developed.
Right.
And it was like everything that fell together in Sukkot was like the Father was orchestrating this
for relationships,
and for loving one another. And so I just see the mighty hand of the Ruach HaKodesh, and the Father is orchestrating right down to the final teaching of this conference that wraps it up in such a wonderful package for us to chew on and live.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I would just say to this, and I'll keep it brief, but is, you know, throughout this conference, you know, what you taught on is basically what this conference was all about this ecosystem of all these different parts and pieces
of this
body that are valuable. Not one is more valuable than another. We're all valuable to the kingdom and to his work. To proclaim Messiah, And, you know, like the ants and the termites and the bats and the frogs and the birds and the bees and the insects, you know, all that kind of stuff. They're working together. But if one falters, the whole thing will fall apart.
Everything will, even us.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And one of the things that I'm really starting to grasp on, and I've known this for a few years now, but I'm just really hearing more and more of this, is that we are a community, you know, of believers. We're part of the same body. We're part of the same community, and that we need to value one another. We need to build relationships with one another. We need to love one another with our whole being, our whole heart, and as Brad was talking about, and deal with the weightier matters of the Torah, and not get into all this petty stuff, because the unity will come, not necessarily uniformity, because we're all individuals in that sense of, you know, we have different functions, but we all have our part in the kingdom, but we are that community. And we need to strive for unity in the body, because then with relationships, because the value will come out of that. And I think value will help that if we value one another.
Amen.
More and more. So thank you so much for, you were speaking to my heart, Mark. It was awesome.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Rabbi Emmanuel.
Brother Mark, I just want to share two things with you on this. One is, what you were speaking on, I already had an idea of what you were going to teach, because, and this goes with what you were teaching tonight, is I was having a situation and I had called you, and I value you enough to come to you as a brother and, you know, say, hey, I've got this problem. Can you help me? Okay. I've seen a lot throughout the years in what, if you want to call it a movement, I don't like to call it a messianic movement because it sounds like you're going to the bathroom, but what I've noticed is there's always people trying to fight to be the head, trying to be the teacher, trying to be the next, you know, greatest thing out there. And there are so many gifted people that we need more musicians, which are part of the body that Paul speaks of in Scripture too. There's different members of the body. If everyone was the mouthpiece, then where are the eyes? If there's no eyes, where are the hands? If there's no hands, where are the feet to walk? You know, I think back to Bereshit or Genesis when you were saying, you know, we're created in His image, and I think of the basic cognitive powers that we possess are an ecosystem within themselves. You have sight, touch, taste, smell, and we see how the Father one way meant it for good, and how HaSatan got Eve and then Adam both to fall into leaning on the evil inclination of using those cognitive powers. Why? Because if you notice, he says, you're not to eat of the fruit. Well, what does HaSatan say? He goes to Eve and she says, well, he says we can't touch it. Well, how do you obtain knowledge? You know, think about going to a bookstore. Okay, you go, and the first thing you notice, you use your cognitive powers, which is part of your ecosystem, part of being created in His image.
Sure.
You look at it, then you touch it, then you strum through it, and as you read, you're digesting, technically. Okay, so my point is that what I've noticed is that yes, there needs to be more unity in the body, and I think it's great that you definitely broke it down with not just, you know, the plant life, the wildlife, all that, but how we can relate that to being the body of Mashiach.
Yes.
And how we need the eyes, we Yes. need the hands, we need the hearts, we need the mercy people, we need the people that are going to go Yes. out there on missions, we need Right. the musicians.
That's right.
If everyone's fighting to be the teacher and trying to show off, then that's it. How can you work as an ecosystem? You're going to die out.
Right. That's right. You're going to die out. That's exactly it. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, that's. I just think of that. I think exactly, you know, how you said it, how you shared it, and even how Paul says in Scripture, too, about being members of the body. I mean,
that's right.
The eyes can't function with the, you know, you got the brain, But, you know, then you've got the heart. Well, the heart can't function without the brain. You know, the eyes can't function without the brain. And then, you know, you've got the hands. But then if you just have hands, then where are the feet? You know, what I'm trying to say, too, is to back up what you're saying, brother, is that I don't care if you're the person that cleans the kahila. If you're a person that's just cleaning the kahila, there is a purpose. The Father has a purpose for you.
Value.
You have great value because we as humans look at it as, oh, well, that's the person that cleans the congregation. But you know what? You know what? The servants, last I checked, Elijah and Elisha, usually receive a double portion. And those that are willing to serve first and be humble enough to be used in whatever part they are meant to be in the ecosystem, they're going to be blessed. You know, we have to know where we belong, where our place is in the body.
That's right. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank every one of you. I really do, really do value your opinion. And thank you for coming in and humoring me with this. I mean, it's different to do this, to teach and then, you know, solicit. You know, the response is there. But like I said, the reason I did that was because each and every one of you, I have thought when I was putting this together of what you probably would also be thinking, you know, because I do that when I'm listening to a teacher, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you know, this goes along with this, but he's not saying that and that type of thing. So I hope you understand why I brought you in here and had you tell me these specific things. And I really do appreciate your humoring me this and coming in here. I am going to end all of this with my last scripture that I had not brought in here, and I'm sure many of you, out of everything everybody said, the least thing that has been said by all of you, and I expected it. I really did, because, you know, the bringing in the Declaration of Independence on this was the real odd thing, I think, because I could have done the ecosystem and the interdependence and you guys would have all fit all that, but it's kind of that Declaration of Independence there that kind of threw the balance off. But let me give you a scripture that we so rarely ever think of, but yet it's a scripture where Yeshua proclaims that in his eyes, all men are created equal. Matthew 12:47. Someone said to him, "Behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you." But Yeshua answered the one who was telling him and said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers." So I hope you all understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
Yeshua himself said, even when he's talking about his own mother, he's basically saying all men are created equal.
Amen. Amen.
It is the life
that
God put in us.
That's awesome.
That's in us. And that is what is of value. That is the only thing of value. And every living organism on this planet, everything was created by God for a purpose, and it has the life of God in it. If it is extinguished from this planet, the life of God is extinguished from this planet.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
All right. Thank you all for being a vital, vital part of Lamb Radio and all the speakers. I know all the speakers and musicians are not listening right now. Probably very few, but I want to proclaim that I find every single one of you of equal value. There are no big names among that are any bigger than the other. The only reason that some of the bigger names were put out in the evening were simply because that's the way it is. And it's not that I valued any of them any more than I value every producer on Lamb Radio. And I hope that through the years I have let that be known to you, that the reason that I bring you in is because I value what you have to offer the Messianic community and the world out there, and that's why you're on Lamb Radio. The first year we did this, we had no names, no big names, not anybody that was known around the world as being a big name teacher. We didn't do that. And yet still, Susan and Stephen will tell you, we still were a major success in the first year. And so I appreciate every one of you. I value so much. I value every single person that listened this past weekend and that listens continuously, that's going to keep listening. I appreciate you. If you only came in one time and didn't find this to be your cup of tea, then, you know, I still value you. I appreciate it. I hope and I pray that you find a radio station that you enjoy. And be blessed. Thank you very much. And so I tell you what we got coming up next, people, is Corey Stallsworth. I'm going to bring Corey in, and everybody can say hi to Corey. Corey is our new disc jockey, and his show usually comes on at 9 o'clock. So we have cut into Corey's time here. Corey, hi.
Hey, how are you doing, Mark?
I'm good. We're just finishing up the conference here, and Corey's going to come in and do his show anyway. Corey came in after we had started putting the conference together, and so we, you know, everything had pretty much been set, and he's good with that. But we realized his show came on right after we were done, and he wanted to know, well, what do you want me to do? I said, man, you come right on here and do your show. So I'm going to let Corey have it. We're going to take ourselves out. I am going to play the theme song for the conference. And, you know, I could sit here for another hour and talk about all the different things. Stephen, go ahead, brother.
You fixed him up. He's already got an audience here. We'll just leave him.
There you go. That's a fact, Corey. We got you an audience set, brother.
I know. That's what I was saying. There's a little too much pressure for me. It seems like.
You got it. Well, I'm going to play the theme song and the conference, and this is Corey Bell and Mark Keller singing praises to the Lord. And then, Corey, I'm going to let you have it. Thanks again, everybody, for all that you did and your support of Lamb Radio.
God bless.
Thank you, Mark. Yes. We love you. We love you so much.
Now, let's go out and do. Let's be doers of the word.
Woo-hoo. That's right. Rabbi, would you say a blessing over everything to finish this up?
Sure. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, I just thank you for all the wonderful speakers that spoke, Father, at this conference. Father, I just thank you for Mark, the station owner, and Brother Stephen and Sister Susan, who put this together, who had hands in putting this together, Father. And I am so thankful for the wonderful praise and worship artists that you have given the beautiful ability of music and praise to, Father. I thank you for all the Lamb Radio speakers that spoke to, throughout this conference, Father. I thank you for all of them, and I just lift them up before you, Father. I lift all of them up, whether they are, as Mark was saying, the bigger names of the regular speakers here, Father, we're all one. We're echad, Father. And I thank you for them. Father, I ask that you richly bless their lives, Father. I thank you again also for Mark putting this together and the Lamb team, the Messianic Lamb Radio team, Father. I ask that you richly bless them. And I ask, Father, that you would put it on the hearts of those to donate, Father, to this wonderful radio station that is listener-supported, Father. And we thank you. We thank you for the listeners. We thank you for the people, Father, that were in the chat room interacting with us, Father. Father, I ask you to bless their lives too, richly bless them, Father, in a mighty way. And I just thank you, Father, for all of them. And I just ask that as this conference ends, that people's hearts were open and their minds were open to hearing the messages from all the speakers. It doesn't matter if we all agree, Father. Sometimes we'll agree to disagree, but the fact is that there's unity and there's love. And I felt that at the conference, Father, this conference. The fact that there's unity and love and that we work together, as Brother Mark was saying, as an ecosystem, Father, that we work together and learn to value one another, Father. You've given us life and life is precious. Father, again, I thank you so much. And I thank you for the opportunity of being included in this, Father, and my wife. Father, I just pray again that you would just, next year would be even bigger and better, Father. And I just pray for all the new coming people to Messianic Lamb Radio that are going to be having shows and spots, Father. May you richly bless them as well. And Father, I just thank you for everyone here today, everyone that was involved, and everyone that was listening, Father, as well. May you richly bless them. In your name we pray, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes.